ADHD to listen to the Shapeless Mask podcast at podcast.shapelessmask.com.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
So we lived in a different neighborhood. We were here in Augusta. We had a neighbor who was this really interesting, very crazy old woman with a mustache.
There's a picture of her.
Must have been Italian.
She was Italian.
She
could home cook the most awesome spaghetti. She always made too much, and she always gave me, you know. She didn't like you. The only reason I think that is because she would often say to me, "I don't like you." So I kind of started to suspect, you know. I think the main problem she had with you was Sarah.
Yeah.
She didn't like Sarah. So by virtue, she didn't like you.
Right.
Because you were dating Sarah. So.
Speaking of which, Sir Mildred Pierce is going to be dun 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 on the 30th of January.
He's going to exist on the 30th of January,
and that's the date that you reflect on all of your other years, because that's the day he was born.
He's going to be on the 30th of January.
31, right?
Well, don't say it on the air.
See, that's why I didn't say how old he was.
That's not. And plus,
I just said it was his birthday.
That's not my birthday, though. That's the other guy's birthday. Sir Mildred Pierce's birthday isn't January 30th. It's April. It's April 19th.
Okay. Well, anyway, this particular gentleman's birthday is coming up.
The person who plays Sir Mildred Pierce,
yes,
has his birthday on January 30th, where he'll be 31. 31. You geezer.
There's a famous piece. I think it's in the London Museum. It's this clay tablet. It's basically like a login sheet for some construction site. And, you know, it's got, you know, here's Bob, here's Phil, and, you know, Egyptian Bob, Egyptian Phil. And at the bottom, it's like Egyptian Frank. And the guy wrote in, like, the hieroglyphs for, like, ridiculously late and did it in, like, large, angry letters. Like, you can see that the guy was pissed off when he wrote the hieroglyphs in the clay tablet.
Huh.
And it's like a history teacher in college told me about that. That's always stuck with me because, you know, you're used to seeing history as like, you know, here's dry fact, here's dry fact, here's dry fact, and then you've got this, basically this scrawled word note from 6 centuries ago. It's like, this fucker is late again. But as far as like the official histories go, they go back and forth a lot.
That reminds me of a joke that's supposed to be based on a true story. I doubt the legitimacy of it, but there was this, I don't know if it's a joke or if it's a true story. Like Sir Francis Drake or something, I don't remember who it was about. It was supposedly had this first mate who would show up intoxicated a lot. Have you heard the story? supposedly, when I originally heard it, supposedly it was true. And the captain, whoever it was, would write in his log, you know, like February 3rd, you know, 1432 or whatever, I don't know what year it was. First mate was drunk. And he tells the first mate about this, and this goes on for several days until finally, as revenge, he went in and into his own log and wrote, like, you know, February 27th, 18th, whatever. The captain was not drunk, giving the impression that, you know, it's like such a rare, you know, occurrence. That it was noteworthy, you know. So, I don't remember where I heard that from. I think it was in a philosophy book, actually.
I thought the joke I made last night was pretty good. I was at the shop and a homeless guy walked in and he was I need some money. I can't borrow a cigarette. No, can I have a couple of dollars so I go buy a hamburger? And one of the guys who works at the shop gave him some spare change. And he walks out and I looked at him for it and said, I didn't realize you could get hamburgers inside a bottle. I
This is Broad Street.
Who wants hamburgers,
dude?
A pregnant man.
That pregnant man actually originally was a woman.
I know.
It's the homunculus.
You talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
No, the homunculus.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know where the homunculus is?
I have no idea.
It's one of my favorite things I've learned within the past, last year about. I'd heard the phrase, I never actually looked it up. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm sure there's probably some phrase or insult or something or word that you've heard that you've even used possibly, and you knew the correct context, but you never really knew what it really meant.
Mm-hmm.
Homunculus means small person. Essentially, it comes from the idea that there was this original belief that when a man ejaculated, the semen contained little people. Okay. Homunculi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people got pregnant, was basically when you would ejaculate inside a woman, one of the little people would grow up to be a person.
Hmm.
Because they understood that you had to have semen and it had to be inside a woman. They understood that, but they didn't understand what process was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the prevailing scientific theory for a long time.
Sexist. It's sexist.
That there are little people in your testicles.
No, it's the man's doing as, and the woman doesn't contribute anything other than the.
Well, she contributes the
vessel.
Womb.
Yeah.
The divine vessel.
You know, I honestly don't think that they were being sexist with that.
No, I think so.
They just wanted some sort of explanation as to.
No, because otherwise women would become pregnant without anything at all.
Hmm.
Hmm.
It's the only. I mean,
you'd have virgin births like left and right.
Otherwise, women would give birth without having sex.
Uh-huh.
They knew that only women could produce children.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously.
They can't get around
that. And something the man was shooting out was contributing to that. And so it's not sexist. It's just...
It's very sexist.
No, it's not.
That the child is of the man, not the woman.
But that wasn't why they thought that. It wasn't. Like
I think it was why they thought that. I think it was a big part of why they thought of that. I mean,
it
directly comes from living in a patriarchal society.
I understand what your foundation for that is, but I don't think their idea of that was to be sexist. I think if the roles
not
were
overtly.
Reversed, no, I don't even think it was. I don't think it was an agenda to it at all. I think it was the only. Given that set of circumstances, it was the only thing that made sense.
They didn't have the science they have today.
Yeah.
Well,
of course they...
Sort
of explanation.
Yeah.
Because, Ian, any other alternative is absurd, aside from the real one, that is. I mean, any other alternative, because the man has to be present in order for it to take place.
Well, I don't think it's a huge stretch of the imagination to think that a child is half the father, half the mother.
Well, obviously it was.
Yeah, to a patriarchal society that could never consider that a woman could contribute such material to the offspring.
Or the guy could always just shoot in a cup and two
well,
lesbians
look at it from the
could
science
put it into a turkey baster.
Look at the science perspective, okay? First off...
The bad science perspective? Or the real science perspective?
The real science perspective.
Okay.
Back when they didn't understand it. They knew that women menstruate, but they didn't... What they saw for menstruation didn't take place at the time of fertilization. By the time you get the results of menstruation, it's too late to fertilize.
Yeah. That's
so they couldn't connect those two, so it had to be something, you know. It's just a process of elimination. It's not a patriarchal thing. I disagree. Maybe there were. I can't say for certain because I wasn't there. But when I read the article on this, there was no mention of it being patriarchal in nature. In fact, the concept existed prior to that. They just applied it. To that, because that
prior
was
to
the
what
the
patriarchal
idea of
societies,
what
prior to patriarchal societies?
No, the idea of homunculi was a literary device too before it was applied to science.
So, wouldn't another name for homunculi be midget, or would that be correlated in any way?
It's
a little smaller than
what. The horrendous things that I said when I was in Germany really offended all of my relatives except one.
Is it in German?
No, it's
English.
Well, I said it in German. It's
nothing
about Nazis,
no. It's about Jews.
Well, how else are you going to offend a German?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you if you'll let me.
Oh, he's,
me?
He's
a leader.
Come on, quit interrupting her, man. Okay. Now that Sean has shut up.
We're gathered around the coffee table.
Okay.
We're all having this conversation. They're talking about education in Germany. I looked around and I'm looking at my Uncle Peter and he's looking off face and he's got this look on his face and he's like frowning and I'm like, well, But if all of the people that don't get educations keep having children, where are you going to get the intelligent children from?
Huh?
If everybody in my... Let me repeat.
Yeah, please.
If all of the educated people
right.
in Germany and other places are choosing not to have children until uh-huh. later...
Right, right.
The only people that are having children are unintelligent. So where are you going to get intelligent children?
That's the plot of Idiocracy.
Yeah, that's the plot of Idiocracy. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, no.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Office Space, actually.
I don't know about that.
Just for Ow My Balls.
Random spin-off.
Ow My Balls, yes.
You got hit the ball. They're still going to produce smart people. I mean, there won't be as many because you're not smart people with smart people. But, you know, there's going to be the random flukes that crop mm-hmm. up that actually are smart.
But if the education system keeps pummeling everybody down...
Well, you know, I can't speak for Germany. But...
Going through an education system has very little to do with how intelligent your kids are going to be.
Although it can...
It certainly doesn't affect your DNA.
Intelligence. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. I think Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney are probably very smart men. I don't think they're stupid. Are they evil and in league with Satan? Yes.
I thought one of them was Satan. I've lost track.
According to the t-shirts.
No, you're thinking of Rudolph Giuliani.
Told a lie, I'm gone.
home over some the guy in the hat and the mouse went up the stairs.
That doesn't make no sense.
Come on, who cares? See, everyone was off to get the show, so don't be trying to knock me. I say what I want to say as long as it sounds funky. Some missies wanted to buy me, so they try to take stands. But they don't understand, I'm the motherfucking man. I am his and I'm down. Look them up and down, smack a few of them around. Let them know who was the girl who's the typical top to commit the clock, the best under the sun. I'm the Lord G-Rock, the number one, Mr. Funky.
The Lord G-Rock.
For that song today.
Especially the soundtrack to the Highlander, because I think that's like a whole other level of cheese.
Come on. That's some of their best work.
My best, you did worse.
Princes of the Universe? Someone could murder me to that song.
I grew up listening to that album thinking it was just a music album, really.
Yeah, and then not realizing like the whole Highlander.
I mean, she was in it. She liked the Highlander movie, but I think it was quite a while until she actually got her hands on it.
I mean, it's very definitely in its own little pocket, you know? I mean,
the music or the movie?
The movie. Yeah. Well, the music too, really.
It's definitely apart from the TV series, which is...
Oh, God, don't even get me started on the TV series.
Pocket of suck TV. How about the second movie?
Friends don't let friends see Highlander 2. it's just wrong.
But it's got Sean Connery.
The only good thing that came out of that movie was the joke that they did on Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the episode where they had the movie with Sean Connery's little brother playing like a James Bond spoof.
Oh, yeah.
And they did like a little chart comparing James Bond or Sean Connery to James Connery's career. And there's only one point where it spikes where James is above Sean Connery, and they're like, what's that? Oh, that's Highlander 2. That was the only thing in the entire world that validated that movie's existence.
Highlander 2 is kind of like the Halloween 3 of the series.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, have you seen Highlander 2?
I've only seen the first Highlander. I've seen bits and pieces. And
friends good. Don't let friends.
That's where you need to stop.
Except for Highlander 2. It's kind of like... My friends and I, you know, we watched Halloween 1, we watched Halloween 2, and we hadn't seen any of the rest of the movies, so we decided to just go out and get them all.
But
One weekend. No, just a rental. We rented the whole series. We watched it. All, like, we were spending like a weekend together. And if you haven't seen Halloween 3, you're familiar with Halloween, you know, Michael Myers. It doesn't have Michael Myers in it at all. It has no connection to the original movie at all.
Well, isn't there, like, none. At one point, like, they're watching the original Halloween on TV at some place?
Was it produced as Halloween 3?
I don't remember if there was... See, I used to know the story behind it. I don't remember what it was. But at any rate, it is a terrible movie anyway. Like, it's absolutely awful.
It's hideous. It's a cantankerous cancer.
Like, at least in...
Define cantankerous.
Like, Friday the 13th Part 5 is the only other movie except for the first one where Jason is not the killer.
Okay.
Jason isn't even in it. It's a guy pretending to be Jason, dressed up in a hockey mask, killing people. He's not really Jason. But even that wasn't that bad compared to, you know, Halloween.
Well, I think
so did they make more Halloween's other than the 20-year later one?
If I remember correctly.
Did they get worse or better?
It kind of...
Because Highlander got worse.
The weird thing, weird thing about...
The best thing you can do with Highlander is just watch the first one and stop.
I can only speak on the best on 4 and 5 being really halfway worth watching. The only reason is they're not that great. I mean, it's pretty much more of the same, but they do add all these interesting elements to the story that really make you intrigued. And then when 6 comes along, it's like, well, this is what it all means. And you're like, wow, that is kind of lame, actually. Like, took all this intrigue and just tossed it right out the window.
Yeah, that's really one of the big problems of Highlander 2 is Highlander 1, they never really explain...
Yeah,
why the fuck do these people live forever? Well, why do they have to kill each other?
You didn't
other
need
off?
To. You didn't want to know because it was just they live forever. That's the fact, and you just go with it.
Yeah,
and then like
the 2-1, it turns out they were like aliens from another planet,
from the planet
Zeist. Exiled to Earth or something like that.
Some crap like that.
Like if you're going to exile somebody, why would you make them live forever? You know.
I think you're being unfair by pinning like. The decline of his career on that movie because he was
Zartan. I'm just saying that is the nadir of his career. That wasn't the
oh yeah
the Zartan.
No, Highlander 2 is clearly worse than Zardoz.
Is that the one with
Hey Sean?
Yeah,
that one's actually weird enough that it kind of
it's kind of like it's got like a John Waters
it's got
thing
a
like kind going. Of
hippie
yeah,
thing
yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of going on. Whereas Highlander 2 just sucks.
Yeah, Highlander 2 just yeah. sucks. It's
and
one of my favorite.
That was it was and that other than Zartar or whatever it's called is so early in his career that he definitely had redeemed himself by then.
I mean, scratch music is inherently masturbation. You know, it is all... I'm serious.
That's cool, yeah.
It is inherently all about listen to how good I am.
Yeah.
Most hip-hop.
Yeah, yeah.
Most
that's
hip-hop.
Actually... That's all, that always kind of boggled my mind a little because you always comment on other people scratching and stuff. And I don't think, like, most, like, guitarists... Like, when they listen to other people play guitar and stuff...
yes, they do.
Certainly they have... They comment on other people's guitars, but when people play... a guitar in a song and they do it, you know, fairly simply, they're not like, oh, that's such simple guitar playing and this is such a bad song because of it, you know. Whereas like when you listen to somebody scratching and they're doing like simple little like
baby wicked, scratches.
Yeah, yeah, you can't help but
that's inherent in hip hop.
Yeah, yeah.
So. That is through and through. That's why I say hip hop is the first, I think, real American like purely American
right.
culture, because all the staples are there. We regurgitate and recycle everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about this duplicitous love everybody, but at the same time, I'm out to destroy everybody. Competitive thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the same is like AC Lone is one of the biggest, like, you know, unity and love. But hey, I'll kill you on the mic. I mean, that's his whole thing, and he will do those in the same song,
right?
And not be hypocritical because we understand that those are two different things,
right?
You know. And the idea that, yeah, I'm out to get mine. If you're not out and down for, you know, me, then fuck you. But I'm going to give back to my community and help everybody out that I possibly can as I become successful. That sounds contradictory, but it really isn't. When you think about it at its core.
No, I think I can dig that.
And that's a whole, you know, I mean, you know, people say that about turntablists. I think it's more obvious with turntablists because there's a lot less that a turntablist can say. I mean, I've tried to do songs on Bonavage Robot that actually maybe not necessarily had a political meaning to it. That certainly had like substance to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1200 Revelation 1200 was definitely like saying something. But It was more of just like emotions and feelings and trying to, you know, just not be as, you know, scratch, and that's it.
All right.
Or cutesy. A lot of it's cutesy and tongue in cheek, and the play on, you know, the usage of the samples you have. I did a lot of that because that's fun. They're good jokes. I mean, I've got the one. One of my favorite finds ever. I've never heard anybody use it. It was so tight she could barely open her mouth, which is really great. I mean, it did duplicitously, you know.
Yeah.
Works its way into that. Yeah, that album's that song's full of those. That's the.
When was the last time you hugged somebody that you were not dating or related to?
Well, I mean, like I hugged Carlos and Todd last night.
One of my coworkers on
Friday. I'm a real touchy feely kind of guy. But...
Yeah, you come across as a real touchy.
That's been a while. Probably about a month or so.
But
it's like either I think Joey whenever he came back to Vegas.
We just listened to the Beat Nuts.
No, I'm not talking about hug as an arm wrap. I'm talking about hug as in your whole body presses against their whole body.
Well, no, no, I just,
yeah, like an actual hug.
No.
Women are more comfortable.
I hug my mom.
Hug.
Like everything.
No, not related.
Family. Not sexual related. Way.
Not related.
Not related. To.
Yeah. You can answer too. Okay.
I'm thinking. I can't.
You're like, I don't know.
I mean,
it's been about a month.
Like,
but if it wasn't been for me, just, I was just fucking around.
People, yeah.
I'm serious.
Like, no, not in a sexual way.
I mean, like, I
people are so uncomfortable
there are guys
to touch
work,
each other.
I
just
I
thought about
I make
that.
A point not
well,
to hug.
I hug people a lot. Yeah. I don't really.
It's one of the track. Side hugs. So we're talking.
He's
about
yeah.
He's
weird
about
like a. Stuff. You're really happy to see somebody that you have not seen in a while, and you hug
him. I want to hug him. He's kind of like, eh.
No, how about a handshake, dude? Handshake.
Okay, we've done it.
I gave you a hug last time.
He even said.
Even side hugs,
oh, you want
if your
hug,
whole
you
side presses against their whole
like
side.
I stuck out my mind. I was like, yeah. We're...
Huh? I don't remember this, but I do remember.
I do, because you said it. I was like,
there's a lot of tension right now.
I know, but
I think you should really hug.
But,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, you two should hug. Full body. You can do it from the side. No, you're resisting
the hug.
Hug him. He resisted. Here, I'll aid him in his hug. Here, do the group.
Last time I saw him, I went up and gave him a hug, and he had the same reaction to me.
Because this is why.
Because
but you remember me
giving
you a hug, right?
Yes, no,
I remember.
Why are you sitting down? You still have a hug to give.
Let me tell you. Let me give
you a hug real quick.
I know you'd said that you didn't like doing that type of stuff, and also because I felt like from the last time that I'd given you, like, you like, made you uncomfortable, so I didn't want to put you in that. So I was kind of staying offish as a result of that.
I was
trying to be respectful of what you wanted to do.
I like giving people, like, you must have misunderstood me this for the first time or something, because I don't remember any of that, and I don't recall any of that.
I do.
I just think people don't touch enough.
Yeah. What? Come on. Nigga. Come on. Yeah. Check it out one time for the ass. I'm going to take you for the ass. Come on, man. Check it out. Here's a tune about this honey named Renee that I met one day, on my way back from John Jay. I'm peeping shorty as she's walking to the train, I tap her on the shoulders, excuse me miss, but can I get your name? She said my name is Renee, I said I got a whole lot to say, so may I walk you to your subway? She said if you want, so yo, we started talking, I brought two francs and two drinks and we began walking. I had to see where that head was at, cause like it was mad fast, so we must chat about this and that. She told me what she was in school for, she wants to be a lawyer, in other words, shorty studies law. I'm telling shorty I'm a writer, and as she's looking for the token, she drops it back into the easy water, covers her mouth with the name ring. I say, yo, I don't sweat the technique, shorty rocks. I do the same thing, but yet I use Philly blunts. She said I never dealt with Philly blunts because I heard that's what silly stunts. I said, nah, they burn slower. Right now I really don't know you, but maybe later on I can get to show you. A ghetto love is the law that we live by. Day by day I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce over my ghetto princess every day. Give it up on my shoulders. A ghetto love is the law that we live by. Day by day, I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce over my ghetto princess every day. Give it up on my shoulders. So now we're sitting on the train. Besides a fingernail, I surely got the hairdo with pain. Now understand she got flavor. A tough leather jacket with some jeans and the chain that the moms gave her. Got off the train about 6:34. She wasn't sure she had grub for the dog, so we hit the store. Went to the crib and turned the lights on. A mad magazine stand from Essence to Right On. I love the dumb stereo system with crazy CDs. Understand, cause she got cheese. She said, sister, what you want? She said, I'm gonna feed the dog. I said, all right, well, I'ma roll this blunt. She came back with stretch pants and a ponytail, a t-shirt. Hey, yo, fam, I got a tenderoni girl. We sitting on the couch chatting. We're smoking blunts off the balcony. We're staring at Manhattan now. I started feeling on my chest, I started feeling on the breast, and there's no need for me to stress the rest. Hey yo, I got myself a winner, we sparked the blunt before we ate, and a blunt after we ate dinner. She had a tattoo, she only wanted to go to see, but first then the lights would turn up to Jodeci. I'm like, whatever, shorty ride, we could swing it like that, cause on the real, this is where it's at. A ghetto love is the law that we live by day, I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce over my ghetto princess every day. Give it up for my shorty, shorty. A ghetto love is the law that we live by. Day by day, I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce over my ghetto princess every day. Give it up for my shorty, shorty. I woke up the next day on the waterbed and letters on the pillow went. This is what the letter said. It said, cheeks, I be home around two. You was deep in your sleep, so I didn't want to bother you. I left my number for shorty to call me later. Got dressed, smoked the blunt, and then I bounced towards the elevator. I got to beep around three. I'm asking shorty, what's up with you? She's asking, what's up with me? And now we've been together for weeks. Candlelight, dinner with my shorty, crack a 40 with my naughty freaks. Hey, man, I never been in love. But every time I'm bursting in and out of state, shorty that I'm thinking of. I'm hanging out with my crew. I get the beat from Renee, because Renee uses slow too. But yet I'm chatting with her mom too. She says Renee's been shot, so cheeks meet me up at St. Luke's. I jump on the bandwagon. I gotta make it there quick. Hey yo, this shit is getting mad thick. Not even thinking of the phone. Now I'm doing the buck. Who gives a fuck? I'm smoking boom and the whole nine. I gotta see what's going on. And by the time I reach the hospital, they tell me Mr. Cheeks, Renee's gone. I'm pouring it out for my shorty who ain't here. And I'm from the ghetto. So listen, this is how I shed my tears. A ghetto love is the law that we live by. Day by day, I wonder why my shorty had to die. I reminisce over my ghetto princess every day. Give it up for my shorty, shorty. A ghetto love. Thought you were cool.
should try to bring up later in the show. And
it won't matter. I'll just say that the Hulk was smashing.
You suck.
Yeah, but what do I suck is the
question. Cock.
Anything?
Artichoke.
Are you ready?
I've been to one.
Same thing.
I've only been to one strip club ever. I've been to it twice, but only once when it was actually open for strippers. And I went because a friend of mine happened to work there, not as a stripper, but he happened to do the music. And I hadn't seen him in years. And they were like, hey, you want to go see our friend Chris? I was like, yeah. It was like, he works at Baby Dolls. I was like, oh, really? I don't know if I want to go. And they was like, no. And I was like, well, I haven't seen him in a while. So, and he was running the music. They said it was on the other side of the building. So, you know, I'm not really into strip clubs. I realized when I was there that it's not a place for me for a whole bunch of different reasons. But I noticed when I was in there that there were all these people sitting at the bar. And I'm sure you've been to strip club, right?
I've been to a strip club.
You've been to a strip club, right?
I think once.
Yeah. Anyways, they were all sitting there
They're all sitting at the bar. Well, one of the things about strip clubs is the drinks are really cheap and inexpensive, right?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, that's kind of I was being sarcastic. They're actually really expensive. Guys were sitting there at the bar, right, drinking for hours.
Yeah.
Never turned around.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you're paying like $6 for a bottle of Budweiser. So you can sit with your back turned to strippers and not pay them any attention?
Here's why. The strippers are baby dolls. Why?
Well, but then go to another fucking strip club. Or here's the idea. If you're not going to watch the strippers, go to a bar where they sell booze. You guys want to hear the story about why I know that I don't need... It's not really that offensive.
No, I want to hear this.
Okay. Well... I don't really like. I'm really not into porn that much. I'm really not into all that type of stuff, and it's just not my thing because I'm too analytical, I guess. And my friends knew I'd never been to a strip club before. And Ghost, who was the person who took me there, he insisted that I come with him, and then he secretly went and got this girl. It was her second day on the job. Gave her some money to get me a table dance, but didn't tell me. So she comes up and she's like, hey, you know, come over here. And I'm like, nah, I'm all right. I'm fine. She's like, no, you should go over here. And I'm like, well, I'm not paying or anything. I don't have any money. I don't have any, you know. And she's like, no, come over here. It's already paid for. I was like, what? So she takes me over there and she gets up on the table. And one of the things that blew my mind about it was that she, in like 2 seconds, went from wearing a dress to being almost completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
And I like blinked my eyes. It's like I Dream a Genie, like mm-hmm. you know. And then, yeah. That was Bewitched.
Close.
But boom, like, and I was like, whoa, and that kind of threw me off. But then, she just did all this stuff that you know, just these different moves and stuff like that. I found the experience really insulting for both parties because the strippers kind of made assumptions about men and what men were interested in. And there's no communication. The men did not talk to the women and say, hey, yeah, I want you to do this, you know, do this. So they were kind of left to their own devices to assume that this is what men were interested in. I found that kind of insulting because she made a lot of assumptions about me. And at the same time, it's also, I feel like, degrading somewhat to the women involved. So anyway, there were two points at which I could tell that I hurt her feelings. One of them was... I didn't know what to do. I have no idea what the etiquette for these places are because I've never been. And I'm sitting there drinking Cherry Coke. And at one point, she must have done something really, like she was really wanting me to see, and I was drinking and wasn't looking at her. And I could tell, like you could see on her face. And then another time, I wasn't like ogling or anything, but I just happened to catch myself looking at she happened to catch me looking at another girl. And I know that hurt her feelings too. It was really awkward. It was all said and done before she did the table dance because she had to start when the song. The way it worked, I don't know if this is every strip club, but
it is.
They start at the song and then they finish at the song. So I have to wait for the song. So that we spent like a good minute and a half talking, just talking. Mm-hmm. I got to know her a little bit, and she seemed like a really nice person. And then after it was all done, I got up from the table and I said, well, it was nice meeting you. Thanks a lot. And walked off, and it was just really awkward and definitely not a place. I've been back once because the only time I went back was when it wasn't open, when it wasn't, there were no strippers. I specifically said, is there going to be strippers? Because they don't have strippers all day. And he said no. And we went in. Sure enough, there weren't any strippers. He was getting set up, and I was like, okay, cool. The other thing I noticed about Baby Dolls, which really gave me the impression it was a high-class place, was each stripper between sets would take Windex or whatever and clean the pole.
That's right. Like a good stripper.
Is that true of every stripper, yeah. Pretty much? That seems like it should be someone's job.
No, every good stripper's got a nice little damn paper towel in one arm,
yeah.
Windex in the other. Put it on the side of the stage, do your thing, squirt it off, you're done.
Well, no, they were doing it before they started.
That's cool.
It seemed like that should have been someone's job, you know? Yeah. So that's true of all strip clubs, huh?
You know, I would like to see the janitor, like a really hot stripper, but just posing as a janitor, goes up there and does a whole routine, it'll be great. And then wipe the pole off when they're done. Like, you think the janitor's out there doing
it? Well, she should wipe while doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen. And on that note,
place a paper towel in her vagina and then run. Yeah, anyway.
Oh. Shut up. You effing moron. Shut up.
I don't say effing. I just say, you're a freaking moron, you know.
Get off my phone.
I'm the king of the mute button because I'll be like, one of these days it's going to catch up to me.
Yeah.
But I'm like.
You say this out loud?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People walking by. People hear it on other calls. I'm like, you freaking moron.
That happened
to me. Yes, ma'am.
Me.
And then what happened?
I'm on a call one day, and all of a sudden I hear ladies like, who's that telling somebody to shut up? And I'm like, oh, that's one of my fellow employers talking with our manager. I mean, I just came up with something on the whim because I'm like.
And I'm not the only person who does it.
I don't think I ever should.
You think we should all just sit there quietly?
Someday your finger's going to slip off that button.
And it's happened to people way higher up than me. One of the people who trained me when I was going into quality, Ben, actually, he had a customer. He was like, you're a stupid bitch. And apparently the mute button didn't work. And she heard him. She's like, excuse me? And he's like, oh, no, not you, ma'am. I was talking to a coworker, you know. Which is the universal, I think, you know.
Well, there's nobody else there to blame,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you know.
And then there's...
all that fucking brain fart out. I can't say anything, man. I have my association with a construction company, and the VP has become bilingual.
Really?
So that he can speak to the workers.
What?
Because so often... You would walk up to him and say, hey, I need you to do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is wrong right here. They'd be like, no habla. No habla. El jefe. You know, whatever.
Pepe.
The boss. And,
Pablo, honey?
So he speaks Spanish, and he knows.
That's smart.
He knows these people are not legal. You know, I mean, there's
do you realize the liability that puts on him then?
There's just no way to get around it.
But see, here's
white people don't work, period.
Yeah.
They don't work hard enough.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay? The people who are primarily against the whole immigration thing are conservatives and Republicans, okay? And regardless of whether you agree with the, regardless of whether you agree with me or not, the staple of our country as a free enterprise capitalist system is free enterprise capitalism. But it's interesting to point out how opposed to free enterprise capitalism the conservatives and Republicans actually are. If they were for it, they would allow these types of things to happen because that is free enterprise capitalism. If they're hiring someone cheaper, fuck the law. The law, why is the law there in the first place?
The thing that everyone always forgets.
The law, wait, hold on, real quick. The law, the whole purpose of the immigration laws are not to worry about whether the person's being hired or not, to prevent, like you were talking about with convicts and stuff like that the wrong type of people may be coming in. We don't have a problem with people coming in and becoming citizens. We've never had a problem with that. We have immigration, open borders for that type of shit now. But it's become such an issue with the whole, you know, hiring thing and you know, but at the same time, although we have a problem with it, we also don't prosecute the companies that do it. And I feel like if you're going to be the people who are against this shit are being inconsistent, which is a big thing with me. I really despite inconsistency. They're being inconsistent in the fact that They're not being consistently pro-capitalist, and they claim they're capitalists. They're not being consistent in the idea that these companies are the ones responsible, because if the companies don't hire them, then there is no issue to talk about, because they're not working here, and they're not going to come here because there's no jobs to get. So obviously, they have a reason to come here because they know jobs are waiting for them. I mean, that's just A to B to C, you know? I mean, I'm not even... I mean, that's not even my opinion. That's just obvious, but...
Well,
the other
I don't denounce what you're saying. Okay. It's just, you have to realize that one of the things mostly overlooked by both parties. Well, I could actually retract that and say that it's most focused on is not who they have on their side and who they have against them.
When you say they, I'm sorry, who are we talking about right now?
Like, if you're talking about like any type of party, like
politician.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Let's say. A, B, all right? There's A leader, A party, B party, right? And they're usually...
Yeah.
Most it's usually pretty even. I mean, that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
What no one ever really seems to realize on, like, a general level is C.
Or D or E or F or G.
Right. Regardless, I mean, you have to sway these guys. But whether it comes to like the workforce or religion or whatever you deal with, it's like he was talking about like right now, like his contractor is learning, you know, Spanish or whatever. And we're talking about people that just, they don't have the wherewithal to go and deal with the extra bullshit that comes with this. Oh, well, whatever, I'm a conservative, I'm not an American. This guy is a fucking American. What has changed? You know, bring me your weak, your weary, you know, bring me that. You know, that's what America is in real time.
Yeah.
If I gotta learn Spanish, I gotta fucking learn Spanish. That's the way it is. That's what my country was made.
Now, that gets me to my other point.
Right.
About this. We'll be right back.
up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way, somehow, some way, somehow, some way.
Check it. Intelligent words and colors inside of this rap vision. Liquidized for precision, which cleanses them like baptism. I bless souls through the world, second religion from the left. With art angles to enlarge your prism. Prince Po I, out of the south side slums. Claiming spots around all these hypocritical tongues. Repeating the same topic, misleading a seed topic. With 2 years out of the picture. I still rock it and rock well. Don't ever let my sticky get you jail. I'm strictly international ghetto. Clientele, the freaky black James Bond with infrared view. Propelling, cross-examine my steps, and with the few I make, power use, drop jewels inside of the grooves, inside of under the eyes of God, can't lose, batter and bruise crews, and let the heat spark the fuse, got your boys crying while you're stretched out in front of the church pews, fools hit the dance floor to shake shoes, intergalactic hip-hop monster who sucks ooze, out of the crowd with fat asses inside the party, want more,
sticky, sticky butt, naked and raw, somehow, some way. We be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way. We be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way. We be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way. Somehow, some way. Somehow, some way.
Only inches beyond my eyes, Lord. Here lies the soul of a nigga who fights a lyrical war with inside of himself. Pharaoh, eager to see, feeble intermediate MCs, immediately deleted repeatedly. Y'all know the unprecedented. True. Without herb, every single word to be verbally demented, presented. So that when it disintegrates, no sentiments, I'm imminent. Standing alone against your tenement. Isn't it bug how I bust lyrical slugs or thugs that mug niggas for loot to sell drugs when the fan gets struck by feces? I'm only rolling with the most superior profile in my species. See my thesis to release these bombs by all means. Yes. Yes, attack the mic, rap till it's a crack fiend. Mace the base with AIDS and misplace the vaccine. Pharaoh's pulling out on the Pope. Took a peg of Catholicism with scriptures that I wrote and note. My physical form is like Norm. It seemed like Saddam Hussein was still calm. But
somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day. But somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day. But somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day. But somehow, some way. Somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way, we be coming up with funky fly shit like every single day, but somehow, some way,
somehow, some way,
somehow, some way, somehow, some way,
somehow, some way,
somehow, some way,
somehow, some way, somehow, some way.
How stupid are you? Take the quiz.
Right.
And just put in your credit card number there.
Are you susceptible to enter your credit card number on this website to find out. 5 months later. Yes, you are!
Right into it, buddy.
It's not next Tuesday.
Now that we know that Diebold has chosen McCain as our new leader,
I don't even think they're going to try to steal it because
you apparently haven't been watching the news.
Oh no, I mean there's been lots of dirty tricks going on, but it's been pretty isolated to the local level and kind of pre-election stuff. But I don't think they could even steal it at this point.
Who, McCain?
Looks like even Georgia's going to go for Obama.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty unprecedented.
I was talking with my parents last night, and they're like, well, we were hearing it was 50-50. I was like, where did you hear it was 50-50? When I left
Maybe they're talking about Georgia.
On Friday, Fox News said Obama was up by 7%. I was like, damn.
Yeah, if McCain
and that's
wins.
7%, not counting the third parties and undecided. That's 7% of people who decided.
Right. Yeah, she already wrote it, which is pretty cool.
So I'm just like, where are they? And they wouldn't tell me either. I had the most frustrating conversation with my parents this week. My dad.
I had a similar conversation with somebody on a bulletin board, you know. Yeah.
Well, my dad flat out told me that he knew more about the Middle East than I did in Middle East history. When I asked him who the Sunnis represented and the Shiites represented,
right.
He kind of looked at me like I just asked him, like, what's the difference between the color green and the trumpet?
And all Iraqis, you know, what's the matter?
Yeah.
An Iraqi's an Iraqi.
Yeah.
Really? Except some of us want to kill us, and some of us are pretty cool with us. And, yeah.
I heard that there's some indication that the surge, quote unquote surge, was the result of ethnic cleansing by one group on the other, and not really anything that you know our policies did, or you know the just having more soldiers on the ground in Baghdad or whatever, which is kind of interesting because that's about all the only victory they can claim so far in that war.
Officially the second victory.
Officially 2,000 days since mission accomplished.
Saddam Hussein, you know, it's a victory too. Yeah, you know, and I always wondered, like, you know, if mission is accomplished, then why is everyone so opposed to pulling out?
We found the weapons of mass destruction, right?
They got an in-house production studio here. This dude sings like fucking Michael Bolton and Eric Clapton put together with a damn sugar cooking. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's Eric Bolton.
They do it.
It's like going to the park with the trough, you know? You know, not the urinals. You never been to the trough?
What part are you into?
Oh, come on. I got a photo of a fucking trough, man. Okay. You've never seen a trough before? How long have you been alive? You've never seen a trough? That's crazy talk.
I swear I just watched that movie last night.
What, The Trough?
No, Don't Cross the Stream. That's really weird.
That's awesome.
I didn't finish it though. I got bored.
I watched the first one.
I cannot believe it.
You talked the first one?
Trough. You've never used a trough before?
The pisser?
Yeah, it's just a big big sink, basically, but it's waist trough. High.
What do you call it?
That's called the group pisser.
You say that to your mom, like, hey, I'm going to use the group pisser.
Well, he's hardly going to go that's say, what they hey, I'm going to go use the trough, they have mama. You ever seen a trough, mama?
That one, and the only thing that's below the trough is when they have the wall, you know, and it's just like a little drain on the floor, and the floor kind of has an indentation.
Oh, they have one of those in the discotheque.
And you walk, you're pissing on the wall, basically. You just walk up and piss on the wall, and it weirds me out.
Yeah.
Anything without privacy.
You remember that when you went to the discotheque?
I've never been to the discotheque.
You said
isn't the discotheque a gay club?
And the one
Oh, hell no. We got to take you in there now.
Isn't it a gay club?
No, it's a strip club.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
I thought you said you went to the strip club.
I did. I went to Baby Dolls. Went to
and you saw titties?
I saw that woman's liver, man.
You didn't see the trough?
I never went to the bathroom.
Look at the trough on that bitch.
Is this like a common feature at strip clubs?
I think so.
Classy.
You know, one time we took the little Chuck E. Cheese's display off of our table, and we drew Chuck E. crucified, and wrote Chuck E. Jesus.
And left it there.
And left it on the table for some little kid to... You know they serve beer? How many little 8-year-olds are going to go play, you know, skee ball?
It's for the distraught parents.
Are getting tanked.
Now let's get mommy and daddy drunk before they have to drive you home.
That's the way to do it. Where a kid can be a kid.
I'll tell you, like, working in a craft arts field that has a, you know, distinct weekly deadline, it's kind of a different environment too. There's definitely no leisurely pace involved when you're getting close to the deadline.
Yeah.
But for me, it was my favorite day was always deadline day. I always liked working under pressure and having that. I don't think Sean did, but all the different newspapers I worked at, I always enjoyed the deadline day the most.
My only problem with deadlines is the people who set them had no idea how they were going to be met and would just run in and raise their voices, yell and scream and demand that things happen in front of them even if they didn't know what the fuck those things were.
My problem wasn't deadlines. My problem was that it seemed like there was always someone there who was trying to pull the rug out from you. Case in point, we worked for a newspaper, Spanish English newspaper, and we were, it was like 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning, we were done with the paper, right?
Yeah.
And this person comes to the door
Now, first off, they're coming to the door of the newspaper at 4 a.m. Okay? They want to know if they can put an ad in the back page. And we're like, I'm like, no. I'm talking to the woman who owns the newspaper. No, we can't do that. We've already got the paper that ad's done. She tells me, and by the way, she gave him a discount too. She says, I just kept saying to myself, I wonder what Jesus would do. Would Jesus put that ad in the back of the paper? And I'm like, Jesus would not operate as a Spanish English newspaper, so it's kind of a moot point.
Jesus might.
You know, I just thought of that, so just. I mean, that's brilliant. At any rate, of course, we end up running the ad. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the ad for?
No, I don't recall that. I mean, I recall many similar things like that.
Dealership.
So Jesus would make a profit on ads by allowing people to buy cars.
Gave him a discount for coming in past deadline.
Usually,
back page
gets the other way around.
Well, it sounds
you charge more for.
Well, if Jesus was running the newspaper, it sounds like Jesus might have got a discount on a vehicle.
I saw a sign.
Well,
on this website.
That's that was her whole thing.
Everyone should have this sign. Like, you guys should have this sign in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for real. It says there are three qualities of service you can get. You can only pick two. There is fast, cheap, and good. Fast and good is not going to be cheap. Fast and cheap is not going to be good. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's brilliant. I've never seen it before, honestly. I've never seen it before.
Well, just think back to the, the weapons upgrade, you know, part of your Mech Warrior video games. You can only pull so much in so many places. And you pulled the wrong thing the wrong place, the little graph would kind of get pulled away from something else.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you know.
So,
Hare Krishna, is that what you said?
Didn't Jet Li say that he was no longer going to make action adventure films?
No, this is Jackie Chan.
I know, but I saw a Jet Li commercial too for his new one.
He's not gonna make any more martial arts epics.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That the difference?
The martial art epics are tapped out.
I don't know. I don't know what he said. He probably said it in Chinese, and the translation didn't quite go as well. He's probably talking about quitting smoking.
Yeah.
And
and she came with the same type game, the type of girl giving out the fake cell phone, the name big fame. She like catching big things, jewel ship, money clip, phone flip the 6 range, and seen her on the ass, spotted her more than once. Ass so fat that you can see her from the front. She spot me like paparazzi, shot me a glance, and that cat woman stands with the fat booty pants. Hot damn, what's your name, love? Where you came from? Neck and wrist laced up, very little makeup. The swims at the Reebok gym tone your frame up, a sugar and spice, the only thing that you made up. I tried to play a low key but couldn't keep it down. Asked her to dance and she was like, yo, I'm leaving now. An hour later, Sam's from Jamaica, she sipping Chris straight up, skanking while in the waist up. Scene. My fam throwing the jam, Fareed is on the stand, big things is in the plans. The brother Big Moon makes space for me to move ahead. Yo, this my man Most, baby, let me introduce. I turn around, you was the same pretty bird who I had priorly observed, trying to play me for the herd. Shocked to tell she couldn't get it together. I just played along and pretended I never met her. How you feeling? No, I'm fine, my name is Most, I'm Sharice. I heard so much good about you, it's nice to finally meet. He moved to the booth, reserved for crew especially, and honey love ended up sitting directly next to me. I'm tight polite, but now I'm looking at her skeptically. Cause baby girl got all the right weaponry. Designer fabric, shoes and accessories. Chinky eyes, sweet voices, f***ing with me mentally. Be conversating, made her laugh, yeah, you know me, bro. Even though I know the steelo, she wild, sweet, yo. I'm about to murk, I say peace to the family. She hop up like, how you gonna leave before you dance with me? Dance with me.
She blew my whole head with that dude. I was like, what? I played it low though, I was like, yeah, alright, come on then, let's go. This is mad. This is so sick. I'm telling you, honey was so blazing, she was what? Yo, she looked like Jane Kennedy, word one to my mama, man. She was that L, man. She take me to the dance floor and she start whispering to me.
Yo, let me apologize for the other night. I know it wasn't right, but baby, you know what it's like. Some brothers don't be coming right. I understand, I'm feeling you. Besides, can I have a dance? Ain't really that original. We laugh about it, trace the arms across my shoulder blades. They playing lover's rock, I got the folded fingers on the waist. He in my butt up like the Arizona summer. Song finished and she whispered, honey, let's exchange numbers. Scene 3. Weeks of dating, late night conversation. In the crib, heart racing, trying to be cool and patient. She touched on my eyelids, the room fell silent. She walked away smiling, singing Gregory Isaacs like, if I don't, showing me a tan line and a tattoo, playing Sade, sweetest taboo, burning candles. All my other plans got canceled. Man, I smash it like an Idaho potato. She called me at my J.O., come now, I can't say no. Jensen tree trunks, rocking a pee from cocking her knees up. Champion lover, not ease up. 3 months, she call, I feel I'm running a fever. 6 months, I'm telling her I desperately need her. 9 months, blue light symptoms with shorty not around. I need more than to knock it down, I'm really trying to lock it down. Midnight, we hook up and go at it. Burn a stogie, let her know, sweetheart, I got to have it. She telling me commitment is something she can't manage. Wake up the next morning, she gone like it was magic. Oh, damn it. It's on Harrison, full frantic. My number one's an answer by my fly Taurus Enchantress. Next week, who hit me up? I saw Charisse at the kitty club with some banging ass agent playing. Lay it down and lick me up.
Oh, yo, 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 yo.
A millionaire would only bring me down. hard to stay strong. We've been living in exile for.
The day the earth did chill.
The part I want to see of that movie is after the whole thing's over and after the credits have run, you get to that little like aftershock blurb thing or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
I don't really watch that before.
No, but like, you know,
don't watch.
Well, no, like, what do you call it at the end of at the end, like you've run, you've given the credits, you've done like the.
I'm not saying that to say I don't masturbate. I'm just saying I don't see the point with the internet existing.
Would you
videos?
My point is, what do you call the little segment that you end the show with? Like you go end the show, credits, and the little thing at the end.
A bumper.
I guess what you call it.
Are you talking about when you show like the logo and everything?
Well, no, you have the little after credits joke.
The stinger.
Stinger, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, the stinger. Which would be, I guess, in this case, you know, poor Jill laying there in like various puddles of fluids, you know, mopping up what's left, going, ugh. They had like the entire room full with like nothing but like goo and blood and everything. Some guy running in. Am I too late? Oh man.
That would be funny. Am I too late? Oh man, I missed it for real? Shit.
No, I never get to play. No.
Y'all supposed to call me. I do run like a half hour of music. Is it game man or not? I gave my cell phone number. The fuck?
Y'all supposed to text me.
They're like, yeah, Bob, it's at the dock. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh man.
Okay. So
you're starting to look like Ron Jeremy.
My penis is bigger than Ron Jeremy's.
My in cock is much bigger than
no,
yours.
No, seriously, this is only 9.5.
Only.
It's thicker too. Anyway, back to Futurama.
Please don't lean back in that chair.
You know,
your penis
the spirit
might break
is willing,
yeah,
but the flesh
might break.
No, hang on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is spongy and bruised. It's kind of one of those numbers because you know it happens so often.
And the funny thing is, he's all like, "We need to quit having sex," and then the next few hours, we're usually having sex. No, it's not me. No, it's not.
So, now on to this week's game.
And I went down in Augusta once. Long story.
Yeah, over on 5th Street.
Actually, it was under the 5th Street Bridge, but...
Okay.
Technically 5th Street.
The she-male?
Now, actually, you know, funny story. I was in Denny's last night, and we saw a she-male.
Like hanging out?
Yeah, no, like she was running around the Denny's, kind of talking up everybody, like, hey, how you doing?
She's like, hey, how you doing? I'm a she-male.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like, hey, I'm a she-male, but, you know, it was very obvious that it was neither male nor female completely one way or the other. So, you know, everybody's kind of having fun, like, you know, I'm a female, thank you.
Hmm. Mm. Well, that's one to grow on.
Yeah. Story was much funnier in my mind.
So, while we were listening to the song, we also watched the video.
Say, hey, hi, Tammy. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Hey, I never met Tammy, and so Tammy is the best looking of their friends that I've seen.
I'm the only one with a vagina.
No, I'll tell you. I'm off the.
Hey, I've got one in my. Never mind.
I know. I'm off the aunts. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what that's about. That means I'm engaged. You know what I'm saying? But you are an attractive woman. You know, I got two kids, so don't even take it the wrong way.
No,
but,
it's okay.
But I can say that.
How is she going to take the wrong way when you
because,
say she's an attractive woman?
Because
you think she's,
you know,
because
girls be
creepy?
Digging into that shit. Yeah. And it makes you scared to compliment people. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You know, I
you
don't
never
like
to compliment.
Yeah, because, like, you know, if a girl has pretty eyes, you can't go up and say, you have pretty eyes, without her being like, nigga, I don't want none of this shit. So, I mean, like, being real.
Well,
remember what's his face with the kidney shaped pool?
No.
Jorge? From Aura?
Did he have a kidney shaped pool, really?
No, but in an ad, that's what he wrote. For,
Oh, yeah! And I was the one who was telling him, like, you really need to change the language on that. He didn't understand.
Penetration angst.
Okay, name a movie we've heard of.
You haven't heard of Penetration Angst?
No.
No.
Okay.
Is it a porno? Homework assignment, I guess. See that movie. You know what the movie's about?
No.
It's about a young woman who's and her angstier. Demonically possessed vagina that eats all the men who constantly try to rape her.
Is it a hentai?
Huh?
Is it like an anime, maybe?
No. It's a live-action British film featuring a young lady whose demonically possessed vagina destroys all the men.
Do you know any of the actors?
Try
names?
And rape her, leaving behind only their clothes and their credit cards.
Not their driver's license.
No.
It eats the driver's
They're
license.
They're all fucked. Her dentist, for example, gasses her up, puts her under, she passes out. He cracks her open. She comes to.
Her mouth.
A pile of dentist clothes and a credit card.
And what's this rated?
You're the one with the computer, IMDb. Right
they didn't
there.
Apply for a rating.
Penetration angst. Seem to find some actors.
Is a playoff of the phrase Generation X, I take it?
I have no idea where they came from. All I know is that her vagina talks in the middle of the night, and she tries to silence it using a jar of hot dogs. But right before she actually decides to break down and shove one in there, her roommate catches her. Just pretend to just sit there and eat the hot dogs, you know, herself, rather than shove them up her rather angry and mouthy.
By the way, there's nobody in this movie who's connectable with anything else.
You never know. Well, again, it's a movie to see just for the ridiculousness of it all.
Let's see.
Demonic genitalia. It's always a good theme to, you know.
That's not the first movie to have killer genitals, and I'd like to point out. There's a movie called The Killer Dick, or
The Killer
Penis, actually, it might be called. And it's about a guy whose penis starts killing people.
Just at random?
I'm sure the penis has an MO.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's the penis's driving force?
Gee, I wonder.
Gee, what is a penis's driving force? Usually people don't have to guess.
How do you not love that one? Come on.
Death penis.
I'm not making that.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Oh, another one featuring genitalia used to kill. This one's pretty famous, too.
No, it's called Soul Vengeance. I'm sorry, but the plot. Let's see. I'll read you the plot.
It's pretty long.
I'm sorry. I have to tell you, getting this review just right was a major obstacle. Keith from Teleported City described my problem in a single sentence. It's very difficult to summarize the plot of Soul Vengeance, then convince people it's actually a very boring movie. Why is that? Well, this film is about a man using his lengthy penis to strangle people. Sounds like an amusing concept, right? Sure it does, but go and read what Keith said again before continuing with the article. It's basically about a guy who kills people with his dick.
Strangling people
with his penis.
And not by forcing it down their throats, but by wrapping it around?
I presume so, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if there's a whole thing. Let's see.
Right up there with Deadly Weapons. Remember that one?
No.
The lady who uses her 73-inch bus line to kill the murderers of her husband?
Ah.
Yeah. What looks like two bathroom-sized trash bags.
Oh, what it is, the police officer tries to castrate him. has the phrase, but if the script can take its sweet time getting to the climax. Okay, let's see. Okay, he then uses his extraordinary phallus to hypnotize the surprised woman before engaging in intercourse. Okay, that wasn't... It just says, use your imagination how he kills Harry.
We'll have to see it.
Yeah.
We'll download that.
We have finally come full circle. Oh, hey, you guys want to hear what a killer penis sounds like?
Sure.
I know I do.
Hey, kids, let's learn something new today. Yay!
What does a killer penis sound like? Any second.
Okay. Not quite what I was expecting.
I expected a different sound. I mean,
sounds more like the king's arrived.
From the horn section.
King's arrived to kill you with his penis. But we didn't come to talk about that. So
come to talk about it.
name a big name.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Drop.